Love that you're listening, but join up and encourage your friends to join too. It's only $54 a year, and it helps us keep the station on the air. You can join on our website, www.j-air.com.au.
You are listening to J Air, 88 FM.
You are tuned into the Havel radio station everyone loves.
J-Air 88 FM.
On air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and online at j-air.com.au.
Greetings, greetings, dear listeners. This is Warren Wills for this week's edition of 88 FM JL London Beat, coming to you this Sunday morning here in Melbourne and Saturday night at a much closer time in London, of course. We've inched closer, well, with the time change, because we have fallen back here and they have sprung forward over there in dear old Blighty. Warren Wills, your presenter, JB, Jordan Brown and Gillian McKent, producer of the show, doing all the heavy lifting, and a huge hello and greetings to dear friends of the show, JF, John Farnham, doing fine humanitarian work over there in the UK, as is Janie D, Adrian Silas, greets, and so many other wonderful people. I notice there's some fire. Finally, we have some traction after years and years and years with Julian Assange. Maybe they're reconsidering it, says Mr. Joe Biden. Maybe indeed. We also have a long list of people who have left. Good people like Mr. Les 20man, who has certainly shed his mortal coil, and indeed, by the time you get this, I will have watched the St Kilda Football Club playing the doggies alongside with the spirit of Les 20man, as I did last weekend when St Kilda played the Giants, only to lose by a point, with the other hardcore Saint tragic, Mr Frank Howson, who has left the building. These are good people, as was Mr Navalny, who left the building some month ago, unlike perhaps OJ Simpson, who only a week ago decided to leave the building. Somewhat of a questionable character. Talk about how the mighty fall, and fall he did. Speaking of how the mighty fall, my shattered youth, what has it become? I grew up raised on Big Carl Dittrich, who now stands 50 years down the track, charged with all manner of heinous child crimes, as is another one of my legends, though to be fair, I wasn't a child. When Michael Slater was sitting around to the Australian cricket team, I was already somewhat of a fired, upstarting teenager. He is also on domestic violence charges. A fond farewell to Derek Underwood, Deadly Derek, they called him, left-arm English spinner, who I remember many a fond Lord's Ashes test. There he was. So it goes on. Amazing innings. Travis Head, anyone see it in the IPL, the Indian Premier League last night? My goodness me, 100 absolutely sensational stuff going on. A huge call out to Mr. Alan Kokosowski, doing incredible, wonderful deeds for classical music here in Melbourne. Longer may it continue. And did people manage to catch all the stuff with the eclipse, the solar eclipse that went by? Certain people say it is a portent and sign of things to come. Well, it's certainly not a positive portent, if that's the case. And I'm certainly not going to over-comment on things that have been happening on the political stage, in what was meant to be the grand unveiling, the year of democracy, because India and Russia and Pakistan and USA and the UK were all having democratic elections. Well, that remains to be seen as to how that all unfolds and turns out. Spurs and Saints, yes, the fabulous underachiever Spurs. I don't even want to talk about the contemptible thrashing, hiding at the hands of Newcastle. Once we'd already put ourselves, thanks to Angeball, back into the top four, and St Kilda, a valiant effort, only losing by 1 point against the Giants. So well done there. Now, Before we throw everybody from a certain part of the world under the bus, I want to just say this. When I was about 18, I had the great pleasure when Iran, formerly known as Persia, with its own culture, its own people, its own language, its own style of all kinds of things, not to be confused with an Arab or Semitic culture. And I had the great pleasure of doing some concerts of traditional classical piano music for Persian repertoire for Nakush Bandi and Mevlevi dervishes, which came under the heading of Sufism, which I've got to say culturally was absolutely fantastic. Many of you are thinking, yes, I know, speaking of culture, yes, it's only a spitting distance until we get to the Paris Olympics. God knows what state the world will be in come the Paris Olympics. And would it be nice to view it from the Webb telescope, which always fascinates me, which is operating at 1 degree above absolute zero. At absolute zero, all molecules stop moving. This is 1 degree above, so it can last for as long as possible without being affected by the aging process, and it's only 1 million miles away from the Earth. There it is, and there it shall remain, no doubt, once we have all gone careering casually and recklessly off that cliff that we seem so keen on jumping off. Indeed. And anyone notice about flooding? Anything to say about flooding? Except that Kazakhstan and Russia are experiencing some of the worst flooding they've ever had in their history. Now, I talked about people who've departed, and whether it's Les Twentyman or Frank Howsam, or indeed Derek Underwood or O.J. Simpson or Mr. Navalny, shall we ever hear from Imran Khan again, speaking about elections and Pakistan and so on, or is he gone? Speaking of which, what has become of the Beef Wellington woman? Is there to be a trial? Is she to make her way into the esteemed pages of what's going on? Who knows? The Melbourne International Comedy Festival is upon us, and there will be some reviews going on this week about that. And if anyone could possibly phone in or drop me a line and explain why is it at Anglican churches a mythical creature, a griffin, seems to occupy centre stage. I do understand that Lewis Carroll was into it, and I do understand that J.K. Rowling is into griffins, and I do understand that the pharaohs were into griffins. Am I right? Half eagle, half lion. I'm sure Mr. John Farndon will pick me up on this if I've said anything wrong about that. It's a mythical creature. What? Why would the symbolism be there, given that Christ was Jewish, and given we have Christianity? What is the symbolism? I don't know. Someone will pick me up and tell me about it, but I know just now twice. Two churches at the state funerals of Les Twentyman. There they were, stood behind a brass sculpted lectern, which was constructed around a griffin. And the griffin's wings were sculpted onto the back of the lectern. Its talons were sculpted into a half orb, which formed the top of a plinth. And should a speaker be of a certain height, you would not see them from the audience, from the pews, as they say, but rather you would see the head of a griffin. Does that make any sense? It does to me, but I do find it somewhat baffling. We have a fantastic show for you today, and as I say, we have some reviews. Not only do we have reviews from the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, can you believe we have a roving reporter who has been sent across the waves in order to promote his new show, which did very well, I hear, over here in Melbourne, but is now destined for even greater things in the West End of London. Yes, to whom do I speak? This Mr. Dick Gross, I believe, once formerly a mayor of Port Phillip, is over there as roving reporter for the London Beat, doing some reviews over from Blighty in the West End, as spring as sprung. So stick about, one and all. It is a seismic change in the world. I'm not going to go through the political events. We're an arts show. You all know what's going on. And I have nothing to do with politics because it's divisive. Here we unite. The arts and music is the only and the best way to bring people together in a positive way. We don't do hate speech. We don't do violence. We don't do politics. This is the London Beat. You're listening to Warren Wills, 88 FM. This is, of course, the London Beat. Thank you. Greetings, greetings, dear listeners, and welcome back to this week's edition of The London Beat. And yes, for those, listen, it doesn't matter where in the world you are, I'll tell you something, it's very interesting. The young, good-looking fellow, always painted and depicted as kind of like a Leonardo da Vinci Italian beauty, but the young Jesus was arrested during Seder, I seem to remember, when he was betrayed by Judas. Now, irrespective of which kind of the Western, the main three religions you stand behind, Christianity, Judaism, or Islam. And I mention Islam because everyone who should know, Abraham being the father of both Judaism and Islam, he was the father of Isaac, hence Judaism, and Ishmael, hence Islam. And there was a time in Israel, apparently with the stamps, postage stamps, the Aleph and the Yud meant Eretz Israel, which the Jews understood as being the land of Israel, and Eretz Yishmael, which the Muslims understood as being the land of Ishmael. So anyway, we have a lot more in common, trust me, than what divides us. Yeah, go figure. All right, now here's the thing. Look, there is, I think it's 1 in 7 years, but there are times in the calendar when, yes, where Easter and Passover coincide date-wise, synchronise, and it makes some kind of historical sense. They have drifted far apart, nothing to do with the recent solar eclipse that we had, but wherever you are in the world, tomorrow will be the first night of Passover, the first Seder night. If you are, of course, in the land of Israel, apart from experiencing unthinkable strife that's going on there, which I don't want to talk about, but you celebrate Seder one night, and in what's called the Agola, or the Diaspora, you have two Seders. I always thought that Seder was a great opportunity for us to share culture, and I always thought, great, if we're having a Seder, and we're inviting 15 people, for argument's sake, wouldn't it be nice that half of them were not Jewish? You can have atheists and Christians and Sikhs and Muslims and all the rest of it. And the idea that we share and we interchange our culture, that kind of makes sense to me. It's nice to think that's how it works. So Easter has just gone. The holidays have returned. People have come back. It's Passover tomorrow. And here's another thing. Talk about normalization. Now, I mentioned this in a program some time ago, and I know people started to get alarmed. Only it's that I'm broadcasting from Australia, which tends to catch up. We will catch up, and we are operating probably 12 months behind England on this. But I received something on a birthday, and I thought, oh, that's so very clever of my sister to do a whole composite compilation of accumulated photographs over the last 20 years, to which she said she never did it. It was done automatically by artificial intelligence, AI, which leads me to think, given what's going on in the world, and given how people are into a, what is it called? Plausible deniability, because nobody wants to take responsibility for anything anymore. At what point will AI be the one that's being held accountable? And it will be making the decisions and therefore alleviating, taking all the burden off us Homo sapiens shoulders as it will be making all these decisions. We seem to be heading out that way. Oh, now on a much more salient note for the younger generation, very few of whom I imagine listen to this program on a Sunday morning, but Bluey is somewhat of a kids, I think, pretty popular fare when it comes to viewing in the way that the Teletubbies might have been, or Bob the Builder. Well, Bluey has just enjoyed over here its longest ever episode, which was 30 minutes, and the ABC showed it over here, and it was called The Sign, following on from The Ghost Basket, indeed. And all four teams of animators got together to work on it. The reason I'm mentioning it, because I'm doing a huge call out anonymously, I've got to do it to the writer of Bluey. Well done, and more grist to your mill. Huge call out to Denise Sylvie, friend of the show, who is recasting tirelessly, indefatigably, indomitably over at Samantha's Theatre for yet another production of the world's longest running show, Bar None. We do, of course, refer to Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap, running in Covent Garden at St. Martin's. But no, Denise does more than that. She's got this show. It's been up in India. It's been up in China. It's been up in different languages. And more grist to your mill again. And the Edinburgh Festival looms large. Ahead of us through the windscreens. No, not in the rear mirror. Way ahead of us. As does the French Open, as does Wimbledon, as I keep going on about Yes, the Paris Olympics. Goodness knows what kind of state the world will be in when we do, in fact, get to the Paris Olympics. Maybe it's just me, and I know we've moved on, and it gets no traction at all. You never hear a story on the news about it, about masks, about vaccines, about the closure of healthcare centres. Yes, I refer to COVID. Not really a news story anymore, unless you have some money invested into Pfizer, then perhaps, or AstraZeneca, then perhaps maybe it is a news story as your bank balance tick, 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 rolls over. You never hear about it, and yet, hello, I rock up to Queensland, yeah, hoping to do A, B and C, and I'm told virtually all aged care facilities are shut down because of COVID. We are 3 years past the point where we've got it under control, it's okay, we've got vaccines, this, that, the other. Listen, I am no conspiracist, not by any means. But hello, people have been profiting from this, making huge sums of money. People are still dying from it. We don't seem to have got this under control, but it's certainly of no interest. It's no longer a news story. It's no longer a news item. We have normalised all this kind of stuff, as we've normalised lying. Lying is no... it used to be frowned upon. Oh, you can't do that. That's not the truth. Whatever the truth is now is such an abstract concept, it doesn't make any difference. If there's a market and an audience for it, and they translate into votes, then it's the truth. So there we are. We seem to have normalised a lot of things, but it seems to me, certainly the lockdown was a sign of change. Did anybody watch Les Twentyman's state funeral? You did. Where was Dan Andrews? Where is Dan Andrews? Since he did a runner and a resignation, having not explained to anyone what happened to the $6 billion, yeah, that was earmarked for the Commonwealth Games, what is going on? Or am I missing something here? I don't know, but we are going to pause for some music. If you've just celebrated Easter, happy Easter. If you've just had Ramadan, then you are enjoying Eid, so happy Eid. And for those who are breaking matzah tomorrow night, happy Passover. We're going to pause for some music, 88 FM. This is J.A. Warren Wills. You are, of course, listening to this week's edition of the London Beat. huge warm welcome back to all our listeners for this week's edition of The Land of Bee, coming live from the steps of St Martin's in the Fields. Just opposite a rather large column of a man who is about to be on the screen, I believe, Admiral Nelson, starring alongside Joaquin Phoenix, who's playing Napoleon Bonaparte in the release of Ridley Scott's new film, which is just about to drop. And at a time where I think filmmakers are getting a little more serious, given we've had Salvador Dali with Ben Kingsley, and we've had Oppenheimer that's been on. I think it's fantastic that we've got Napoleon, but more importantly, never mind Napoleon, here comes the Empress herself, Miss Denise Sylvie. Denise, welcome back to the show.
Wonderful build-up. I thought, where is this going?
Yeah. Indeed. Now, tell me, what is... This must be in the Guinness Book of Records.
Oh, my goodness.
What is the longest-running play in the world?
The longest-running play in the world is The Mousetrap by Agatha Christie.
The Mousetrap. Now, you wouldn't happen to know anyone who's involved in this production, would you?
Well, oddly enough, I might.
Do share.
Well, strangely enough, it could be me. I am the artistic director of The Mousetrap and have been since 2009, having been in it several times before, but not. And it's run for, it'll be 71 years on November the 25th.
And can you tell me, I've got a few questions about that. You're up to performance number, do you know?
Absolutely no idea.
Okay.
27. Now that's really unfair.
Okay.
That that.
Next question.
I could actually check.
No. I'm going to throw some scattergun questions at you.
Yeah.
Are any of the original cast still alive?
No, not now.
Aww.
The last one was Jessica Spencer, who played Miss Casewell, and she died only about 2 years ago.
Okay, that's interesting. Next question. Yeah. Has the staging remained constant, consistent throughout, or has it evolved?
We tried to change it a bit. As long as everyone goes in and out of the doors at the right time,
right.
We let the actors sort of... We work on it in each different...
So people haven't been straitjacketed for 71 years?
No, absolutely not.
And next question, does it still pay its way after 71 years?
Absolutely. We have sold out signs both in London and on the tour at the moment.
Well, we'll come to the tour in a minute. Okay, in London, would you say the majority of people who see it are seeing it for the first time still?
Oh, yes, definitely. It's been one of those interesting things. We were the first ones out of the traps after COVID, and we had two casts, so we had a cast on and a cast off just in case anybody got ill. And we did that for the first 8 weeks, and everybody was desperate to see theatre. So all those people who'd never seen it before came to see it. And then they were telling their friends, and then everybody is still coming to see it. So a lot of them are first-timers.
I was going to say, if you are a tourist in London, mm-hmm. and you are from Japan or from Canada, South Korea, Australia, I imagine it's one of the... bucket list must-see shows.
Because it's up there with Madame Tussauds and the Tower of London, I think.
It must be.
But there's a lot of Brits there as well.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. This is good news. I'm going to ask you about the tour, but before we do that, we're going to pause for a little bit of music. You're listening to Warren Rules, a conversation with Denise Sylvie, for this week's edition of The London Beat. a huge warm welcome back to all of our listeners for this week's edition of The London Beat, coming from the middle of Piccadilly, the hub, the pulsating centre of the West End. And sitting next to me, sitting opposite me, is a man who is thrown off his panto costume, stopped doing those imitations, and headed out into the rural, rustic life, where in Wales, apparently, some people talk like that. They're very supportive. Welcome to the show. The fantastic talent that uniquely is the wonderful Mr. Alistair McGowan.
Alistair, hello, Warren. Not completely given up the impressions, and not quite Wales either.
Have I misrepresented you?
No, I'm not doing many stand-up gigs at the moment. I might go back to it, we'll see. But, I'm happy doing other things at the moment.
I kind of think, I might be wrong, when I now think of you, I kind of have this seismic shift. I'm kind of thinking comedy, and the needles turn to music. Is that true to say?
Yeah, that's where the obsession lies. I mean, if you're going to do anything creative, you've got to be obsessed by it, driven by it, passionate about it, and that's where my interests and passions lie now, definitely.
Was there a point in your life you thought comedy,
I don't know. I think it happened very slowly, and it's only since I've sort of, it's just suddenly the ideas dry up.
Right.
You suddenly think, well, I'm not thinking anything funny anymore.
Right.
And I don't know why that happens. Partly I think you want to comment on society and suddenly get to a certain age. I'm nearly 60, I suppose. And, I feel less in touch with the world, so I don't feel I can comment on the world in the same way that I used to.
Right. Well, of course, in music, we deal in abstraction, so we don't have to be specific to anyone.
Well, no, and also you're living in the past a lot in music, which is a very nice place to be.
Right.
In many respects, you know, and your relationships become with people who don't change. They don't disappoint you suddenly. We know all we're going to ever find out about, you know, Erik Satie or about Chopin or about Debussy, so we know who they are. It's quite a nice, comforting thought.
It's a comforting thought that they gave us gifts. They actually did bother. They weren't selfish, and they decided to set their thoughts down in manuscript and language. Because I remember being 5 or 6 years old, and my mum used to say, who would you rather be with, living people or dead people? And I said, well, it depends who the dead people are. I have a lot of fun spending hours with J.S. Bach and his pals. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you just shut yourself off in your own world with that sort of music, and I absolutely adore that now. And it's time-consuming, and wonderfully time-consuming, in a sense, you know, when you're not rushing around everywhere. But I think anybody who's taking up an instrument or suddenly starting to get interested in that sort of music, any sort of music, but particularly classical, and particularly piano, which is what I can talk about, you know, it's easy to say, oh, I can't find half an hour in a day, I can't do 2 hours practice a day, which is what, you know, you really want to do, need to do to improve. But if it's 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, it's amazing what you can suddenly take out of your life and think, oh yeah, I don't miss that anymore actually, I've just done 20 minutes of scales, or I've just done 20 minutes on that bar, or I've done 20 minutes on that piece, and suddenly
it all helps. It doesn't happen overnight, it's an accumulative effect.
It is. But I have still been doing impressions, although they're not sort of up to the minute. One of my latest ventures actually was doing a film, which is out, probably streaming very soon. I know it's around in art house cinemas at the moment over here, probably in Australia too, or will be, called My Name is Alfred Hitchcock, and it's a 2-hour documentary that I voice as Hitchcock, talking about all the styles that he's written in his film, techniques, you see, to tell the stories better, where he put his camera, how he treats some of his actors, themes he returns to. So that was very interesting, and it's a good watch.
Without having to, unlike Anthony Hopkins, get into a fat suit.
Yes, quite. I had to get into a fat voice, but not a fat suit.
Very, very good. That sounds very exciting.
It was really exciting. Yeah.
Is this something, did you actually write the script for this, or are you just voicing it?
I just voiced it, and it was lovely to come in at that time. Mark Cousins is the director, and he did a great job on it.
So, and that, before we move away completely from the comedy thing, I have a debt of gratitude. I've got to give you a big thank you.
Okay.
One of my favourite pieces of writing is actually the Dodo piece by Noel Coward, which I actually is, if you see, what are your top 10 pieces that you'd like to be read to you, I think that may well be one of them.
Not Yet the Dodo, it's called.
Yeah.
About a family called the Bedringtons.
So moving.
It's really moving, about their gay son.
It's clever, it's witty, it's funny, it's life. It's a microcosm of life compressed into a piece.
Do you want another tip for a moving piece of writing, which I was involved in last year for the first time, I hope not last time? Do you know a piece called Enoch Arden?
No.
It's a poem by Tennyson, a long-form poem by Tennyson, which Richard Strauss got hold of.
Right.
And in German, it's now obviously in English as well, because Tennyson wrote it in English, but he did it in German. He put music to it. It's not even a musical version of it. There's bits of music under this poem.
Right.
You need a good pianist. You are a good pianist. You need a good reader. But the story of Enoch Arden.
Interesting.
You won't get through it without crying. I had to employ so many techniques when I performed it last year in Ludlow at our piano festival to stop me from crying, and only it still didn't work.
I. 3 or 4 years ago, during lockdown, we all had a little bit of extra time. I'd never known an awful lot of writing by Byron. And I came across his poetry form, rhyming verse, of the Pied Piper of Hamelin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Utter genius.
Yeah, yeah.
Utter genius.
Yeah. Well, to maintain that rhythm for so long. And it's the same with the Enoch Arden.
It's so clever and yet so moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Tennyson, you know, it's not rhyming, but there is a structure we tried to take. We did take out a few lines because it's long in performance. But even then, if you take out a few lines or words, you've got to make sure you obey the meter, because there is a meter to it. You can tell when something's
right,
not
right.
quite right. But, yeah, it's a masterful art form, which is much neglected. But check that out.
We are going to pause for some music now. But when we come back with the delightful, still impressive and impressionistic and doing impressions, Mr. Alistair McGowan, we're going to talk about a little festival that's brewing on his doorstep. You are listening to Alistair McGowan Conversation with Warren Wills for this week's edition of The London Beat. Thank you.
And so, dear listeners, all good things, as they inevitably must, come to an end. And, of course, this week's edition of the London Beat is no exception here on 88FM JAIR. Warren Wills wishing you a very safe and wonderful Passover break. Indeed, Easter has come and gone, and for certain people of the world, Ramadan and Eid have been and are amongst us. But for some of us of a particular persuasion, it's a time of liberation from slavery. I'm not sure women around the world, given the trashing of women's rights going on at the moment, can collectively celebrate such emancipation. But nonetheless, the people who were there at the Last Supper with the man himself, who was upstaged and betrayed by that Judas chap, will indeed be splitting not just bread, but matzah. On Monday and Tuesday night, we get the double dose of a double Seder in the diaspora. Israel, unfortunately, just has to endure the one. And let's hope they do that safely and peacefully. And speaking of course, that dreaming of freedom, which is what Passover is all about, I believe Julian Assange, who has been dreaming of freedom for a considerable amount of time, it may be a little closer to a reality. A reality, speaking of which, what about a reality check in Dubai? 2 years of rain fell in 12 hours. Can you believe anything to do with El Nino? Or perhaps it was to do with that weird and wonderful eclipse? Perhaps I'm a druid. I should hang out in Stonehenge. Speaking of which, a fond farewell to the saint himself, the apostle, and all of the above. Speaking of the boy at the Last Supper, Mr. Les 20 Man, a tireless, indomitable soul who was defending the rights of youth. And we bid him a fond farewell in the state funeral, which happened about 2 or 3 days ago. I'm minded that yet again there was the ubiquitous griffin that was there on the lectern, which I experienced once before in an Anglican church, so I thought it was something to do with Lewis Carroll. Somebody said, no, Harry Potter is awash with griffins, and of course, pharaonic Egypt, and it was to do with various stuff that symbolism, Freemasonry, who knows? I don't. But listen, a huge call out to JB Jordan Brown. Thank you very much for doing all the heavy lifting over there in Gillingham in Kent. This man is tireless. This man is talented, excruciatingly talented, beyond belief. And of course, know what I mean, love. Know what I mean on Streets Roving Report or over in London. Fiat, I know what I mean. A huge thank you and call out to Roving Reporter extraordinaire himself, Mr. Dick Gross, doing the heavy lifting on all things theatrical, know what I mean, love, which is rather wonderful. Now, if you didn't know, and there's no reason you should, but Tattooist of Auschwitz, which is something I've been banging on for a long time because our social inclusive music theatre Young World Choir have been doing this to do with Lali and Gita, inspired by a friend Gary Sokoloff at school, of which there is a book, The Tattooist Auschwitz, was written. We did this, of course, to tie in with our whole tale of William Cooper and the legacy of Kristallnacht and relationship forged between the Aboriginals here in Victoria, in particular the Yorta Yorta people, and the Jews suffering appalling privations during the Kristallnacht of November 9 and 10, 1938. Thank you, I correct myself. Now then, here's the thing. In May, Stan, no one we know as in Stanley, but Stan as in the TV broadcaster, will be showing a 6-part series starring Harvey Keitel playing the elder Lali Sokoloff on the Tattooist of Auschwitz. But here's the big news. Yes, the big news is this. Barbara Streisand, nobody less than Barbara, of course, is coming out of her retirement, don't you know it, to sing the theme song Love Will Survive from the forthcoming Tattooist of Auschwitz. Something to watch out for, says me. Thank you again to Mr. Bobby Bright for coming along and joining us in our concert a couple of weeks ago. And thank you again going on what Dick Gross says, know what I mean. Know what I mean there on the street to London, like mincemeat, Operation Mincemeat. No, not Colin Firth, no. This is another thing altogether. So thank you for that. Check out a guy called Jacob Collier. Anyone know? Go on YouTube. This man is reinventing things, which was an inspiration to me for a project which I'm working on at the moment to do with extreme piano. Listen, you've got extreme ironing, extreme running. You might as well have extreme piano. Anzac Day, nearly here, Thursday this week. Lest we forget, a huge, strong, sincere, heartfelt acknowledgement to those who really have given so much. For us to be here in all our apathetic disinformation, artificial intelligence and so on, I know, it beggars belief. Indeed. The debate around hunger continues at the UN, as I keep making the point, when a little chappie gets hungry and he starves, the world cries, and it costs 2p a day to provide a pita bread for a little boy. And of course, $650,000 is the going price for a rocket, of which the Middle East seems to be awash. No money for food, plenty for rockets, go figure. But hang on, let's go back. Saints and Doggies. By the time this goes out on Sunday, we will know. Will the Saints be victorious? Will the Doggies? And it goes on. A huge call out to Alan Kogosowski and the great work that he's doing. Travis Head has set the IPL ablaze with some incredible... well, he is incredible. Doing his thing with the heavy hitting. But listen, it's been... The year has been extraordinary at so many levels, at so many levels. And I know what you're all thinking. Yes, we better go now and Google search to see if we can listen to Barbara Streisand's new song. Have a safe and a wonderful and an inspired... Before I go. Have you noticed David Cameron is everywhere and Rishi Sunak is nowhere? Is David Cameron the new Prime Minister? Darren Hinch not running for Lord Mayor? Apparently, well, I'm sorry to say, huge call out for Mr. Darren Hinch. Apparently, the cancer has returned. Wentzel's Zone of Interest, did I tell you about that? And my goodness me, not an easy watch. It's something everybody ought to go and see. Highly recommended. EasyJet has shut down till October. Looking to our crystal ball, can they see something that we can't? That I don't know. Off we go. And Carl Dittrich. I grew up with Carl Dittrich. I've got to get this in as well. He's up on sex offences charge. Michael Slater. Goodness me, can you believe it? Things as I knew them and loved them and understood them. The world is changing around us. That's all I can tell you about that. Stay safe. Have a pleasant pass over 88 FMJ Air. Go and check out Barbara Streisand if you can hear it online. Love will survive. Until then, this is Warren Wills wishing you a fond adieu and saying you've been listening to this week's edition of the London Beat.
תביא לי את הירח גם באמצע היום לעזאזל ההיגיון אתה והמילים שלך זה לא מספיק אז מה קרה פתאום אני תלויה בך כמו שרשרת על צוואר, החיבוק שלך עושה לי כאן, אני לא יודעת למה זה גומר אותי, אז אני הולכת שישרף הכל, היית אור גדול, הצבע בשקיעות שלי, אז אני הולכת רואה אותך בכל מקום, כל זיכרון מתוק, המלח בדמעות שלי, אז אני הולכת. אני יודעת שעכשיו תורי, והכאב הזה לבן תרי, מרוח בשכבות על הגירות שלי, אתה לא אפשרי, כמה שקשה אני צריכה לחתוך, אמרת אני אישה כמוך, עכשיו אני יודעת ששיקרת לי, אז אני הולכת שיסרף הכל,
J-Air, 88 FM.
J-Air is committed to diversity and inclusiveness for the Jewish and broader community.
j-air.com.au.
Hi, this is Mark Kopolov with a reminder that you can support J-Air by joining as a member at j-air.com.au. Your membership fee of $54 a year will help J-Air maintain its commitment of bringing your community to you.
Do you like what you hear? Send us a text with your suggestions or requests on 0404-556988.
Hi, this is Menashe Kaltman reminding you to tune into our program, Hot Kugels. Please tune into our program, Hot Kugels, every